Well, we're going to finish up strong here. I do believe I have a word from the Lord, and as a matter of fact, I feel quite confirmed about that. I feel like the Lord's getting ready to do something in this place, so if we could turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. And while you're turning there, I'd like to, of course, say my thank yous. I don't take it lightly coming to this pulpit for many reasons. One, I understand that this group I'm talking to is very specifically appointed and anointed for this time that we're living in, and so I thank you all for the opportunity to even be here. And, of course, to Brother Galleon, Sister Galleon, everybody that is involved, Brad and his whole team, and everybody who's just been so graceful and gracious with us, I thank them. And to the entire staff here, Brother Mooney, everybody. What a wonderful opportunity we have to be with such a great group of people, amen? It's wonderful. Praise God. Well, reading Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3, it says, For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. And I know you probably don't have time to flip over there, but I'm going to read Acts 2:17, and it says, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. What I want to talk about today is falling asleep on your dreams. Now, I tend to have a deep fascination for all things involving the human element. Is anybody else in here people watchers? I don't know what it is. It's my intuitive nature, perhaps. Any ENFJs know what I'm talking about? Okay, you do it too. Anything. Psychology, sociology, human interactions, anything. I've learned that if I come and I stand right about right here, this is the most nervous man in the entire room. He's not nervous. Maybe I'll move to the next person. Somebody is nervous. But it's all about human interaction. I understand that just by reading and understanding who we are as people, there are certain rules that we all abide by, things that make up who we are. I'm fascinated by all these things that comprise the existence of humanity. Our actions, our choices, our interactions with one another, they all lead me to understand that we're created in a beautiful fashion. God is an artist. And just by understanding who we are and how we relate to one another, we'll realize that we were created, and he creates masterpieces. And the deeper we look into everything that God has created, the more lost we get in the beauty and the complexity of our own existence. Have I lost some of you yet? I hope not. Does this make sense? Good. The very fascination with our own selves testifies to the fact that we were created, not evolved. We weren't placed here by some alien or some weird theory that man has concocted to try to explain away God. The fact that we can look at ourselves and say, wow, I am living, says there's a God who created you to do that. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when Brother Mooney assigned the book, Discipleship of the Mind, in his class, I actually decided to read that. Who knew? People read books at IBC. But in the book, it says that God is logical, and this is probably just a side note, but it says God is logical, therefore we are logical. And if one thinks that they have found a way to outsmart God, they become as fools. Because God is the one who created them with the ability to think they can outsmart God. Therefore, I'm not intimidated when anybody tries to come to me and says, I know why there is not a God. I laugh because I'm like, the fact that you even think you know there's not a God testifies to the fact that there's a God. Anyways. Have you ever found yourself studying the Word of God and realizing you're learning about your own life? You learn about God, you learn about yourself. It's what God intends. All right, I promise I'm going somewhere good. Now, every part of who you are is connected. Every motion of your hand is recorded, and everything the eye sees is remembered. Even if it's forgotten later, it can be restored with some effort. How you view your world and how you view your reality is all collected into the person that makes up who you are. And how beautiful is this process? It's what makes you human. It all testifies that you were created to do something. Now, sometimes, at night, everything about who you are, who you want to be, perhaps even things you wish you weren't, all come colliding in this cerebral explosion we call a dream. And often in this dream, we encounter our own thoughts, our own selves. And at the end of it all, it can lead to an inspiration sometimes to discover a meaning of something. Perhaps it inspires us and we might not even understand what it is. And it can be frightening even in our slumber to experience something we're afraid of. As a matter of fact, even one time I had a dream that I was being chased by myself with a chainsaw. I was chasing myself with a chainsaw. Okay? I'm running around. I discovered I can control my own dreams at that point. It's a little weird. I'm strange. But I would run and this person would be chasing me with a chainsaw and then I would trip and hit my head on a car and I would wake up. And then immediately fall right back asleep. Only to find myself with a chainsaw about 10 feet away. And the longer I did this, the more I discovered I can control it. I decided to have a little bit of fun with it. So I would run, he'd get really close, and then I'd just hit my head and I'd wake up and fall back asleep. And there I am again with a chainsaw. So I think I'm a serial killer. I don't know for sure. We'll find out eventually. Just kidding. Just kidding. Please don't call the cops. Anyways, I know who it is I'm speaking to this morning. I'm speaking to a group that's highly educated, highly anointed, and highly talented group of people. As a matter of fact, I've heard Brother Gallion say this before. He says, this is the NBA of the ministerial world. I remember that stuck with me. And because I'm a soccer fan, I'll just say the MLS. Any other soccer fans? Hallelujah. I can't think of a more powerful group of people than the young, God-driven apostolics, especially those who are coming out of Indiana Bible College. I imagine one or two of us may be biased about that, though. I don't know. I don't believe it a stretch to assume that many of us in this room have a dream that God has placed upon our heart. Oftentimes we think, I would like to win souls. I see other people doing it. I would like to lead people out of darkness. I would like to be the person who points thousands of people to Jesus. I want to build bigger churches than ever before. I want to be part of this great revival. I want to be so great of a pastor that my impact leads other people to love God and respect. That I want to be the evangelist that leads people in and see, you see signs and wonders and miracles. I want to be that. And I'm floored with the honor of being able to be interacting with such a young group of people who have these dreams. But is that all God intends to give you? And maybe your dreams are a little fuzzy this morning, like mine were when I first got to IBC. It was rooted in me. See, I was drawn here, but I had a dream that was seemed like vast. It didn't seem clear. But I knew it was there, and it drove me here. And perhaps those desires are in you as well, but it's a little incomplete. You think thoughts like, where do I go, and what's first, and what's next, and what will my ministry involve? I know God brought me here, but what direction am I going? Have any of you experienced that? It's a real thing, and I know what that's like, but here's what I have to say. You cannot accomplish your dreams if you are addicted to sleeping. See, we can find ourselves asleep, still searching for God to lay on our hearts a dream, but we never wake up. And the fastest way, people of God, for God's vision to be lost in our lives is if we dream and we never wake up. I find that it becomes easy. We love the idea. We love the idea of having this dream. And we say, wow, look at all the things that God can lead me to do. And we've heard all these stories. But at the end of the day, it seems like we're still asleep with it. We're just still talking. We're still saying that I have this dream and it's still a part of me and it's still there. But we let it stay there. And if we're not careful, it will always stay there. Always just be a dream and never become a reality like God intends it to be. It's through the multitude of what? Busyness. Busyness. Could it be possible that we become so busy with the kingdom that we fall asleep on the king? Is it possible that we allow ourselves to get stuck in a rut, become a place where we're coasting through our lives and never realizing the potential God has given us to do? Are you asleep on your dreams this morning? Has God placed it in you, but it's stayed there and has never come out and has never become a reality? If the disciples could fall asleep on Jesus in the garden, don't you think it's possible we can fall asleep on Jesus even in our own worlds? And if everything I just said was true, if everything we are is connected, our actions, our thoughts, our minds, every interaction we have comes to this togetherness that makes up our dreams at night when we go to sleep, we wake up, what are the things that happen in our dream? The things that we interacted with in the real world. If those are the things that determine our outcome, how dangerous is it if we think we can flip on cruise control and just coast through. I understand it's heavy. I had to say this because I felt like this is what God wanted to say. Is that okay? We have a commission and a task. We have something that we've been designed to do. And every second we sit here, there's someone else that's going to need your help. I don't think watching more YouTube and Netflix is going to save souls. I don't think that. I don't think more YouTube videos is going to give us the answer to the needs of the world. I just don't think that that's going to happen. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just believe that at some point, we've got to get it together. We've got to say to ourselves, you know what? It's about time. It's about time I lay aside every weight that so easily besets me and wake up and say, I will be the one who will reach the lost. I will be the one who will go out and say, Jesus is the answer. That will be me. Come on, apostolics. This is our time. I know they're saying that the revival's coming, but I'm looking at the revival right now. Come on, let's worship God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Jesus. We got a whole country being fed by the society. We got a whole country being fed by certain groups of people. And I know this might be strong, but I know 130 people just died in Paris and numerous other attacks around the world because of a group of people who believe that's what God wanted. And in a world searching for answers, I want to be ready to give it to them. And Mooney says this in his classes all the time. He says, are you thinking about this? Are you thinking about your world? Are you thinking about what you can do to contribute to it? I know, like, I'm not against a little bit of YouTube, but what's my dream worth to me? That's what I'm thinking about. What's yours worth to you? What does it mean? What are you willing to sacrifice? When I look in the news and I see tragedy after tragedy, something inside me rings out, screaming the time is now. It screams it. I hear the Lord ringing the war bell saying, who will fight for me? Who will pick up their cross and follow me? I know you might not be able to see it yet. I know you might not be able to see the tears that are streaming down their eyes at night. And I've called you now, and it's perhaps just vague. It's just go to Bible college. Just go. Just go because there's a task. And maybe that dream hasn't come all the way out yet, but you know it's inside of there. It's in your heart. You don't know it. He's saying, God's looking down and saying, look, I know you might not understand it yet, but there is somebody who I've designed for you to reach. My question is this. If the dream is on its way, if God has something he's commissioned you to do and it's on its way, how are you going to get there? Are you going to be ready when it comes? It says through a multitude of busyness, we cannot wait for the dream to come upon us. We have to move now. We have to go now. We have to prepare ourselves now. You have to study now. You have to live right now. You have to get right now. You have to preach right now. This is our time. This is what you've been called to do through the multitude of busyness. I read this morning, look, it coined the phrase, our world doesn't need any more hashtag heroes who identify with a problem and sympathize with it digitally, but it doesn't change them or shake them. It gave the idea, there's a hashtag that went around, says, Je suis Charlie Hebdo, which means I am Charlie Hebdo, after the tragedies that struck even back in January. And people were all on social media and saying, I am Charlie Hebdo. I associate with Charlie Hebdo. But at the same time, they would never do what he did. You see, what Charlie Hebdo did was he wrote columns. And he talked about the dangers of Islam. That's why they hated him so much. And all the people that hashtagged, Je suis Charlie Hebdo, they wouldn't have done those same things. They wouldn't have wrote that same articles because that's too dangerous. They were hiding behind a screen. And when I thought about that, it struck me that said, what if my hashtag said, I am apostolic? But all I ever was just a hashtag. All I ever was associating myself with something rather than being that. Come on, this world does not need hashtag heroes. It needs people that will preach the gospel to sinners who don't want to hear it. They need people that will stand up and say, I don't care if you think that this thing is outdated. I don't care if you think this gospel doesn't work. I know it works. I've seen it work. You want to know who I am? I am apostolic. Is your dream going to die in your sleep? Or will you wake up and say, today I will be who you've called me to be? This has to be more than a hashtag. It has to be radical. This world needs radical. We were talking about in class today. So people are sick of the political correctness all over the place. And you want to tell me you're going to soften the gospel? Please don't. Please don't do it. Live it. Be it. They need it. I wonder sometimes, if when we come to school, we feel discouraged and you feel lonely, you feel like everything's collapsing in on you, and 4 years here seem to be stretching everything that you are. And at some points you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, am I really where I'm supposed to be? I'm struggling and I'm praying and there's no answer. God, where are you? And you're trying to figure out what you're doing here. And I wonder to myself if I realized in my own moments that perhaps the enemy just wants me to realize and focus on what I'm facing right now instead of realizing that if I get a grip on what God wants to do in my life right now, that when the dream comes and when God hits you with it, and as you're working, you look in their eyes and you see it and you realize it, oh my God, that's it. Jesus, you've been trying to show me the whole time. Will you be ready? Or will all that... the 4 years here just been focusing on the problems that you had. And I'm not trying to downplay what anybody goes through. Please, I've had my struggles and my things. But I got to tell you, when I walk out of here and when I walk out of Bible college, I've made up my mind. I won't be a statistic that says we fall away. And maybe it's too late, but I don't think so. I believe that you can come into this house and you can get in contact with God today. You can get in contact with something so real that it sits inside, that in the middle of the night, you're dreaming about it. In the middle of the night, it comes all into your mind and you realize, everything I have is yours. I'm so tired of holding on to my own stuff. I'm so tired of holding on to the things that I think are important. I will give it up for you. I will lay it all aside for you. I will go. And I know we said it, but are you asleep on your dreams? I know we talk about it all the time, but are you asleep on your dreams? In closing, I don't want to take any longer, but I had a dream one time, and I wanted to talk about it, and I was telling myself not to. If the music could come, I'm going to stop. And forgive me, but I don't mean to be pretentious when I say this, so I just felt like I needed to say it. Years ago, when I was in Florida, God began to show me a vision. As a matter of fact, I don't know if Stephanie Sanders is in here, but she was probably in the room that night. In the midst of a particularly powerful prayer service in my youth group, I was running the sound, and I knew that they hadn't come into the service. It was our pre-service prayer. And I heard them in the back praying, and I knew, and I had my responsibility. I had to take care of the sound. But the moment the service was ended, I'm pretty sure I halfway cut the pastor off when he was preaching because I wanted to shut the sound down so I could go back there and pray. I shut it down as soon as service ended, and I entered the back room. And God hit me faster than I think I've ever been hit. I knew the Spirit of the Lord was so thick in that place. And I found myself a spot in the room. And I began to pray against the wall. And as I was praying, I opened my eyes, but I didn't see black like I had expected. I opened my eyes, and I was standing at the gates of heaven. And I began to bang on the gates, and I was screaming, God, you forgot me. There's one more outside. And I'm banging on the gates, and there's no answer. And I'm beginning to get more and more desperate as time goes on, and I'm banging. And as I'm going and feeling like I'm about to give up, the gate opened. It cracked a little bit, and there was hope. And in that moment, I felt like what I was doing was fighting for my own salvation. I was saying, I won't just give up right here. And here I am on the outside, I know, but if I can just hit this gate hard enough, maybe it'll open. Maybe. If not, I know if I turn around, there's only one other destination I can go to. And then I came out of it. But it didn't stop there. As a matter of fact, that wasn't the only time I'd ever had that particular dream. It seemed like a dream. It was more of a vision. But about 4 or 5 years ago, I had it happen to me again. I was down at the altar, and I saw the same thing. I was standing at the gate, and I was banging on it. Banging on it. No answer. This time longer, no answer. And it didn't open. And I turned around, and what I saw a multitude of people as far as I could see it. I couldn't see the end of it. And I looked right in the front, and I saw two people. It was my friend Nikki, and it was a friend of mine named Lars. It was people that I knew. And the looks in their eyes, it told me that what they were thinking was, is it over? Is that all that you can do? Because I knew if I didn't turn back around to that gate, every single one of them were going to be turning and walking toward hell. Every one of them. So I made up in my mind I was going to bang on that gate until it opened. I didn't know how long it was going to take, but I was banging on that gate until it opened. And the longer I banged, it seemed as if it was lasting for forever, but eventually it did open. And when I came out of that, it was shortly thereafter that God called me to Bible college. It wasn't in that same service, but it was shortly thereafter. I don't know how every single one of those people are going to be saved. I don't know it. But what I do know is that God gave that to me. And for a long time, I ran from it. For a long time, I didn't want to deal with that because I knew that that task seemed so impossible, so daunting, that it would take a man that I was not at the time to complete that. Now, that was me. That was mine. But here's what I say. I'm not the only one appointed with that task. That might have woken me up, but God has placed something special in your life to wake you up to. Because we all have that task. So I want you to think about that as we stand across this place. Think about how many people are standing behind you asking you that question. Is that all you can do? Is that everything that you have? Because if you don't get this, if you can't get that gate open, it will not open for us. When you go to sleep at night, and when you rise up in the morning, think to yourself, what can I do today? The altars are open across this place. There is a point in time that everyone will have where you can come in contact with the Spirit of God and it will lead you. But will some of you make up in your mind today and say, Lord, everything I have to be, I will be. Give me that moment, Lord.
Sure.